Well, hello and welcome to episode 224 of The Cool Room. And boy, is it a special one today. Really, really exciting episode as we sit down with the boys from Carwin Cellars and talk you through the breweries which are going to be involved in this year's Carwin Cool Room Black Box. By the time you're hearing this episode, we're going to be just a couple of hours out, maybe 48 hours out from the launch of the pre-sale of the box. They're going to go on sale at noon on Wednesday, the 24th of April, 2024. Amazing lineup of beers, as you're going to hear. You can buy them from the Carwin website, or you can buy them from the Cool Room website. Just go to the Cool Room Shopify store. Just Google that and it will come up. The black boxes will be on the front page. Don't worry about that. We've got the same discount codes that they have over at Carwin, and we really hope that you'll be able to support both Carwin. But obviously, if you buy them through the Cool Room website, support the Cool Room as well, and make sure that we can get together with some amazing beers in early July. There's going to be four live shows that are going to happen in July. You'll hear us talk a bit more about those. But essentially, there's 12 beers in this amazing pack, and in little sets of three, we're going to have three brewers at a time come onto the show live on Zoom. You're going to be able to join us as they talk about not just the beer that they brewed, but the other beers that are in the pack, really jam-packed with insights and beers that you're not going to find anywhere else other than Carwin and the Cool Room. Some phenomenal breweries, as you'll hear. I'm not going to spoil the surprise. So look, please help us out. Please support us by grabbing those packs. Please make sure you're following us on the social media so that you can see all of the other things that are going on at the moment. And it really is an amazingly busy time of year here in the Cool Room. Tickets for the Beer Deluxe Cool Room Hair of the Dog Breakfast are on sale now. Four great breweries involved there. We're going to have Dollar Bill. We're going to have Local. We're going to have 2 Meter Tall. And we're going to have co-conspirators bringing along some amazing beers to be teamed up with the food from Talina Menzies at Beer Deluxe in Federation Square, Melbourne. Some really fun beers, some amazing food. Make sure you're part of that one. And keep an ear out as well for our visit up to Darker Days with Bright Brewing. They're going to be the next brewery that we have on the podcast. Well, I say that because when we recorded this episode last Thursday night, we went straight from talking to Carwin to talking to Three Ravens. That's going to be episode 225. Episode 226, which is going to happen on Anzac Night, if you're in Australia, is going to be with Bright Brewing. Really hope you can grab the beers for that one as well and support us. Look, no further ado, let's get on over and start this conversation with Tito and Ben from Carwin Cellars. Mr. Wu, what have you chosen to put in your glass early on in the evening?
I found the Hop Hen Brewing Pale Ale in my fridge. And I was thinking starting off something that was fresh and bright and not too heavy. So 4.5%, it's cracking. I really like their beers. I just like the philosophy on how they make them and the drinks themselves. Yeah.
Excellent work, mate. Maybe we can give a little shout-out to one of our previous episodes. So if you don't know much about Hop Hen, go back and check out the archives. We're going to be referring to the archives a bit tonight because, heaps of breweries we're going to be talking about tonight we've had on the show previously. We're not going to go into huge depth, but if you like the sound of any of those breweries and you don't know about them, well, then check out the references that we're making. Look, some of the breweries have been on numerous times. Talking of people who have been on numerous times, we're welcoming back Ben and Tito from Carwin Cellars. Gentlemen, pleasure to see you there. The whiz-bang camera that you've got out there at Carwin, I'm told it's the highest definition camera this side of a US spy satellite. How are you?
Good. It's great to be back. I'm not sure how many times I've been on or we've been on, but it's starting to stack up now. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And you're sitting there in the lap of luxury out at Carwin. We can see you've got the magnificent the curtain behind you, a magnificent door closer on the wall, all these things that camera reveals to us, but also some pretty awesome-looking beers there in some pint glasses. Tell us, what are you drinking?
You go, Tito.
Yeah, so we're drinking the Black Lager of the Albert from Hobart, Tasmania.
A really fun brewery, the Albert. If you're listening, friends down at the Albert, then we're very keen to have you on the show sometime soon. So we'll get on to that. What else is fun on tap out at Carbon at the moment? In fact, look, the
Well,
people who for
can I
some
just say, great choice of beer for Warren, because we've actually done a collaboration with Hop Hen ourselves that we're launching next Friday. So, yeah,
Oh, a nice
look
one.
out for that. Yeah, it's a
Can you
big,
give us a hint of what they've
old
done?
school West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice
Very
and
good.
malty, dank and piney, herbal. It's like old school IPA.
So yeah, we had a great time visiting, getting down for the brew day. We actually got quite involved. We weren't expecting it. It was good. They put us through our paces.
Yeah, a bit of a workout. It was good.
Does that mean they made you
Got
shovel
to
out the fermenters? That's usually what guest brewers have to do.
Well, it depends on the brewery, doesn't it? Yeah, they were quite, well, it's a small brewery and they're quite manual, so it's good.
Yeah, so all the milling of all the grain just like goes in a ton, and then someone passes it to someone that's on the kit, and then they put it inside. So like one by one, each one of the different sacks of grain, basically.
Oh yeah, if I was the brewer, I'd be organizing two collabs a week.
Now we're going to get you guys to introduce each other for anyone who hasn't listened into your previous episode before, and then we're going to get you just to explain really briefly. I think everyone in Melbourne, probably everyone right around Australia, knows Carbon, but just to be on the safe side, we're going to do a quick intro for that. But who wants to go first? Ben, do you want to introduce Tito and give us a bit of a
Sure.
rundown as to his
Yeah.
responsibilities?
Absolutely. Tito, like many small businesses, people have many responsibilities. Tito does all sorts of things for us, all sorts of valuable things. I mean, his beer ambassador is his official title, but he does our social media. He's our events coordinator. He's the official nose of Carbon Cellars. So he's personally responsible for sending many kegs back to breweries. He has no shame.
You're just saying that so breweries don't get angry at you sending them back. This is your email on the on that is your phone number.
No, that doesn't happen very often, but gotta keep them honest.
And well, here is the man that really does basically everything that Carbon Cellars, like general manager Ben Duval, over 10 years working for this company, doing a bit of everything. You'll see him behind the counter of the bottle shop, behind the bar occasionally, and handling basically everything related to the beer buying and organizing events as well, and hosting them alongside me most of the times.
And Tito, what's Ben's favorite beer at the moment? What's he drinking?
This is to say, he like Benny will always go for a knockoff and have a rat dog at the bar. And lately, if he can get it on a stein, he will.
Oh.
We do have some staff-only steins that, if you see someone drinking in the bar, they're probably staff. You can try your luck on with the bar staff. They might, but don't be offended if they say no.
I think that's going to be one of those things where many people are going to take you up on the challenge, and there's going to be a whole lot of bar staff that are thoroughly unhappy you've shared that with the world. And if you manage to get out there and get the staff to serve you in a stein, grab a photo, put it on all of our tag
Oh
us on all
yes,
the instas.
absolutely. Yeah.
We want to see your attempts at the very least. For people who don't know that Carwin story, let's give people the very basic brushstrokes of how long Carwin Cellars has been around, and I guess what you're famous for, where you are, and how the world around you out there has changed.
Yeah, right. Well, Carbon Cellars founded in 2007 when Ben and Nicole bought a run-of-the-mill suburban bottle shop, and since that time it's changed so much. We moved up the road 100 meters, obviously have gone very craft heavy on our focus across all the important booze groups and independent focused. And the bar went in about 10 years ago,
I think 10
and
years. this year, maybe?
Yeah, this year we should really do something.
Yeah.
And
was an event organizer.
Online has really been pumping for us for the last 7 or 8 years. And late last year we were acquired by Fox Friday, and it's been so far it's been great working with those guys, and great to have their backing and their support, and they want to do big things with the Carwin brand, and that's great.
Well, talk about big things. Sorry, Mr. Wu, I cut you off there. Talk about big things. Talk about things that you're well known for. It's PAX, just like the one we're going to be describing tonight, which is, of course, the Black Box. Just love working with you guys on this. What's the origin of the Black Box? Like, we know you guys put together all sorts of fun packs. Did the Advent calendar or the Advent pack precede the Black Box, or am I just making that up in my head?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Canvent, I think we just did the 7th Canvent.
Yeah, I think so.
In December, just gone. And we always, Canvan's massive for us. But one of the things with Canvan is that it's at the start of summer. So we're kind of limited in terms of how much we can push it with big beers, with dark beers. So we, came up with the idea a bit over four years ago, let's do a midwinter pack. Let's go as hard as we can and encourage breweries to, put beers in barrels, get experimental big stouts. We finally, it got off to a rocky start actually, because this is the third Black Box coming up, but we did have one before that and obviously had some cool room involvement with that. So the original concept was going to be half the beers imported and half local. And then the container got held up really badly to the point where we couldn't hold the local beers any longer. And we released it in two parts. And that was the Furious Five and the Magnificent Seven.
Hmm.
And boy, that was fun. But the next year we're like, we don't want to take that risk again with international beers getting held up. So let's go all Australian. The local scene's, really improved in terms of their stouts and barrel aging. So let's really showcase that.
Well, the pack certainly does that. It's done that over the years. Do you guys have particular favourites, say, to those ones? I always remember the that adroit theory that was in the overseas pack that we had right back then.
Gin.
Yeah. That was a monster of a beer. Yeah, I remember. I also really like this called Stone Park or something like that. Where a barrel?
Oh, yeah.
That came in a...
It's
like a fruited, like mixed fermentation sour. It's just a pack with flavor. Absolutely incredible. Really delicate as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many rippers. If you're talking about that original Furious Five and Magnificent Seven, there's actually, it's funny, it's not a dark beer, but there was a range triple IPA that we did back then that really stuck with me. That was, at the time, I'm like, I don't think I've had anything better from Australia.
Well, it's a kind of pack where there's all sorts of fun things that pop up in it. And as you can hear, they stay memorable. We might even reflect on some of last year's as we go along the way as well. But I guess it's just sort of interesting perhaps for people to know the process behind all of this. When you and I and other Ben all got together at Carwin, what was that? Was that January, February? So this has been a long time in the planning, hasn't it?
It has. And obviously some of the beers that would be in the pack have been planned long before that. Obviously been in barrel for a long time, but it'd be interesting to reflect on the conversation we had in January and look at the current list and see how close it is.
Do you have your notes from back then? I don't, which might be a good thing.
I do somewhere. I could dig them up. But I think what we've ended up with is a stellar list. There's about 50% of breweries that were in last year, and last year's pack was so strong, and the breweries were so excited to be involved that they some of them instantly put in submissions for the next year, and how are we to say no?
Well, that's right. In fact, I think genuinely the hard bit was sort of saying no to some of the breweries, because we wanted to do something that was a bit different. Like, we wanted some new ones, some new blood in there as well. And I'm sure there's going to be opportunities to work again with the ones that missed out. But, gee, it's a stellar lineup. We're going to have to get into that in a second, I reckon.
Absolutely. Happy to start running through it when you are, mate.
Well, let's go in alphabetical order. But, you know, in terms of alphabetical order, the first one isn't a letter. It's a number.
Three Ravens, how appropriate.
Three Ravens, awesome friends of this show. And in fact, in an hour's time, we're going to be sitting down and talking to them again. So if you want to know more about Three Ravens generally, go back and check out many appearances. Episode 109 was their longest episode they've done with us. And obviously contributed a really fun beer last year, which was the James Bean. What are your memories of that one?
Right.
Memories are hazy after finishing a can of that, but that was probably my pick from last year's. Yeah. It was an exquisite barley wine. Mm. Just unbelievable depth to it.
Yeah, it had just so much a bourbon character. The bourbon character was just like shiny, and it wasn't like this like really aged and kind of like muted. It just felt like really fresh. I felt like even like the whole idea of the can like worked out really well. Or just give it really taste exactly what type of bourbon it was.
Well, really looking forward to our chat with them in the next episode we're going to be doing, because we've got that same beer actually in the pack. So we've had to Jeff and Brendan.
Good. I should say that 3 weeks ago, Three Ravens were not in the black box, but Jeff and Brendan invited Tito and I down to the brewery to taste a few things. And then before we left, right before they left, do you want to come next door to our new barrel space and try some stuff straight out of barrel? And we tried, I'm not going to ruin it and say what it was, but we tried something out of barrel. And we're like,
we immediately just like looked at each other and we're like, oh my God.
We're like, we have to get this in black box somehow. So we've made it work.
Well, we can't wait for that one, and we can't wait to see what it's like after a year. And look, you know, I'm moving over into full spruiking mode now, but you know, what an excellent way to deal with a black box. Buy two. That way you can save a one now, because we're going to have online shows with all of these brewers, and then you can tuck one away for a year and see what it's like after a year, because nearly everything I reckon is going to age really well.
Absolutely. Last year's had aged well. This year in particular will age well. We've really gone big this year. So I sort of did an estimate on the average ABV earlier today, and it's pushing 12%.
Average.
I think I just got my liver crawl out the front door, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, we know there's some breweries in the pack that can certainly deliver on things like that. Next alphabetically in the lineup is Bacchus Brewing. If you want to check out our chats with Bacchus, we loved having Ross on the show. Episodes 180, 181, a fascinating story. They were just about to change breweries. What can you guys tell us about Bacchus?
I've known Ross at Bacchus for many years. Right after we opened the bar, we had a little Bacchus event, and I think we poured a keg of 10% Flanders ale that he had, and it was phenomenal, but really haven't done a lot with him in the years since. And then I was looking for new breweries to get involved in Black Box, and, you know, it's really big beers and experimental beers is really what he specializes in. So it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, exactly. They deal with a lot of really traditional styles sometimes, and they go really modern. Like, they honestly cover it all, especially when it comes to dark beers. And they were one of those breweries that still held into using bottles for quite a bit. And now that they're canned and everything, it's like kind of like a perfect opportunity to get them in Black Box, and they just seem a beer, a brewery that would definitely fit in with everyone else. So,
yeah, he didn't take long to say yes.
and a bit of fun to have another Queensland brewery in there as well. Good to sort of spread the love around the states.
Absolutely, yeah, it's something that we look to do every year.
Well, I feel like in the early lineup alphabetically, it's by chance more than anything else, but we've got a whole lot of our sort of favourite breweries and long-time collaborators. Mm-hmm. Next up is going to be Bright Brewing. And hilariously, they were already booked in to be on the show after Three Ravens, so hang out for that one in a couple of weeks' time. And partly because we're going to be hanging out with them for the Darker Days Festival. So all sorts of overlaps and overlaps and overlaps.
They had one of my favorite beers last year, like Mushroom Bear was, yeah, just off the wall. It was just, I loved it. Yeah.
I've got to say that I had some trepidation. I loved the label, but I really loved the label. That was one of the best labels of the year last year. But Mushroom Beer, I wasn't sure as I went to open it, but gee, it tasted beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. And it's kind of it's really easy to go sweet and luscious with those beers, but to go a little bit savory was, yeah, something else.
Yeah, it's slightly savory, but it was still like a bit drier than the rest. It had an amazing body, really well hit on alcohol, and an underlying earthiness to it as well.
Yep.
It was honestly a great beer. We had a few dented cans, and because I was on packing day, I managed to take them home, and I really enjoyed them and shared it with a few friends that love them as well.
Right.
Is it that special little hammer you've got, Tito, that you carry around with you and just dent a couple of cans from time to time and then declare them to be damaged? And
No, I would never.
Is that what you get when you pass Cicerone school? You get your own denting hammer?
Basically, yeah.
Well, again, go back and check out previous episodes for us with Bright, and look, another similar, very much friend of the podcast, Deeds Brewing. They're going to be back in the pack this year. Last year, Ruinous Archers, which, well, gee, that must have been very close to my favourite beer out of the pack last year. Heaps of episodes with Deeds if you want to check our archives, including one where we taste through the entire Journey series with Kumar. It's a magnificent pack. We might even still have a few of those in our online store. Guys, what can you tell us about Deeds and why have you chosen Deeds to return this year?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious that in terms of their standing in the barrel age scene in Australia, they're very much at the top. So we wanted to include them. And then the opportunity came up, just talking to them, to do to put a collaborative blend together for the box. So, yeah, it's just something, again, that we couldn't say no to. So we're going to go down. Hopefully you're going to come down, David, Warren. And we're going to invite a couple of extra people as well. Perhaps a cool room listener. And they're giving us the chance to put our own blend together for the box. So they'll have selected a certain amount of barrels that they think are ready. And then through the guidance of their head brewer, we can put something special together.
We should put a little code word in the podcast right at this point so that we can figure out who's actually listened to the podcast. And maybe someone who knows the code word might be the lucky listener who gets to come along. What do you reckon? What do you reckon is a good code word? Dent hammer.
That's
a good safe word. No one's accidentally going to say that one. So make your notes if you're listening to the podcast or you're here with us in the Zoom room. There might be a little competition coming along the way where the phrase dent hammer is what you need to enter into the opportunity to come out and hang out at Deeds with us. If you've not been out to Deeds, it's just such a great space. I had a mate who knows nothing really about brewing, but who just wanted to know what the Melbourne craft beer scene was really all about. And it was great to take him out there because you could show him how things get look when they're done professionally, a whole range of different things and a broad range of beers. So shout out to Deeds. Look, I've just spruiked my mates at Deeds. Here's your opportunity to spruik your mates from Fox Friday, because Fox Friday are returning to the pack this year. I think from memory it was Neighbours last year, or was that the name of the beer?
Yeah, it was an absolutely cracking beer as well. It had such an unctuousness to it. It was almost too sweet, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it was delicious. And yeah. Their reception was fantastic as well. Like on Untappd, it has like some of the best ratings of Black Box beers as well.
Yeah.
It's such a delicious beer.
So, yeah, down in Tassie, next to their brewery down there, they have a little barrel room, and there's been some barrels down there having some beer in those barrels, having a proper sleep. So talking to Justin Corbett, some of that beer is going to be ready very soon. And I think they might have a few releases scheduled this year, and I think we're going to get something pretty special for the Black Box.
Well, I distinctly remember when we had Justin and the team on from Fox Friday last year to talk about the beer, and that was really one of the, I think, was that the first beer in the pack? I just sort of remember when we were sitting there and doing the interviews about each of the beers, that Justin sort of got the ball rolling, and, and it was a really fun conversation and really kicked things off in the right tone. It was certainly in the first three beers.
Yeah, I reckon he was in the first. Yeah.
Yeah, it was beer number two.
Was it Hawker's first? Was
Hawker's
it my old mate Maz?
Correct. Peanut butter and jelly.
And then went to Justin.
Strong start.
That's exactly right. Well, it's not going to be much different this year, I am sure. And again, just to do the spruiking, for each of these sort of little flights of three beers, we're going to have the brewers on the cool room with us. We're going to be able to talk through and, you know, not just learn about each of the beers, but hear each of the brewers talk about their other beers. It was a really fantastic opportunity last year with some of the brewers we've just mentioned. Look, another firm family favourite here, Goodland.
Well, Goodland, they become really good mates with us. We've hosted in our venue, I guess, like an inner Melbourne celebration of their birthday for both of their birthdays so far. And yeah, we have something really excited for it. We're gonna even take a trip to go see them for the day that they are. I don't want to say exactly what, but
yeah, that's exactly. We can't even say what it is they're going to be doing.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just going to say part of the process of the beer making. Mm-hmm. I'm getting involved in that as well. So
it's a very exciting beer.
It's a very very exciting beer. And honestly, like, they have the pedigree to do anything that they want in terms of beers that would fit the brief for the Black Box. So honestly, a no-brainer when it comes to them. Would this be the third year that they are there last year?
Well, they were definitely last year.
Yeah, they had their S'mores Smoky Stout last year, and came here in the...
would be the third year that they participate. Yeah. And the first year they had their barrel-aged version of their coffee stout.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as you said, Jimmy's got the pedigree. Obviously, he spent time amongst the barrels at De Molen. And, yeah, he's still underrated in the Australian scene, I think. I just love everything that they do.
Mm. Absolutely right. Kane, who's in the Zoom room with us, is saying that he's got the Gazelle in a glass at the moment, enjoying that. Some of those beers just taste magnificent. And I think we had that in our packs when they joined us on the show for episode 148. So go back and check that out. But Jimmy, not just a really magnificent brewer, and I think you're right, even though they're getting more and more popular, probably still a bit of a secret down here in Victoria, perhaps not getting out into other states quite so much yet, but not just a great brewer, a really lovely bloke to talk to, and I'm sure he's going to have some fantastic stories to share when we get round to tasting that one. Moving right along from Goodland to another of our favourite podcast guests, Hawkers is going to be back in the pack this year.
Yeah, I'd be completely honest with you. I can't even get an answer out of Maz what he's putting in the box yet. I'm just like, I'll reserve your spot. You know, he hasn't let me down yet. So hopefully, you know, this isn't the first time. It will be out of a barrel. It will have spent significant time in said barrel. I've pushed him to, you know, go bigger and better than the last year. So, yeah.
Well,
there was talk of him using it. There's a special collaboration that he's done, and this would be a barrel-aged version of that. So, you know, I can't give too much away, but he did hint at that. Yeah.
Well, you guys have done a heap with him in the past, did a whole lot of other fun things. You clearly like working with him.
Yeah, you know what they say, keep your enemy closer. I love Maz and love what Hawkers have done, and they're so bloody close to us. I mean, we've done so much stuff over the years. We were the first place to pour a keg from Hawkers when they first opened.
Yeah. And Carwin basically just went there and like grabbed the keg out of the line and brought it and tapped it at the bar, like straight out.
Look, there's just no question that even though we've got no idea quite genuinely at the moment what it's going to be, that it's going to be magnificent. The beers that come out of that brewery are fantastic. And if you want proof of that, we'll go back and listen to the three episodes that we ended up recording with Maz in our little visit out there between Christmas and New Year's. Episodes 211, 213, 215, and that finished off with an apple brandy-aged old ale. It was just a magnificent tasting beer. It was almost like 2 minutes to midnight on New Year's Eve kind of moment. It might have been the day before, but it was right at the end of the year, and I reckon it was the best beer that I had all last year. So it was just magnificent. Anything at all like that is going to be pretty special. Other iconic Victorian breweries that start with H. Hop Nation.
Yeah. They've never been in Black Box. They approached us and just said they're super keen to finally get involved. We're pretty close to those guys. They're one of the best Victorian breweries, no doubt about it. Their consistency over the last couple of years has been fantastic. I'm really hoping for an Imperial Black Rat Dog.
Oh,
how good would that be? That's it, yeah.
It feels like it's
happening.
It feels like an age since we had them on the show. It was episode 96 that they were last properly on the show. We have had them back to talk Good Beer Week and a few other things along the way, but I think we're due for a Hop Nation visit. Their beers are great.
I had a Rat Dog last night, and it was delicious. You just keep on forgetting how good that beer is and how well it goes down.
Well, not just a great beer in the Rat Dog, but of course they had their dog beers as well when they did their bone broths. And my the lovely Lionel, my big English setter, he came out to visit Tito at Carwin one afternoon for that launch, and it was a great afternoon out there as well. So they don't do too much wrong, the Hop Nations. Speaking of people who don't do too much wrong, King River come back into the box again this year.
Well, King River, we just love working with them. Last year they were involved with the box. They did the Schweissenbock, which was a completely different beer to anything else that wasn't on that box. So it was such a nice, like, different contrast to see with all this other, like, Imperial Stout. It's like, we're not going to do an Imperial Stout. We're not going to do a barley wine. We're just going to go, like, traditional, but with our own twist to it, which is basically King River in a nutshell. Like, that's what they do, what they love.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of thing you can expect again this year.
Yeah, we did a great collab with them last year for our Oktoberfest event at Dortmund. And yeah, like our relationship over the last year just got continued growing. So we definitely wanted to have them back in the Black Box. So Pretty excited about that.
We love Nathan. He's again one of those blokes who has great yarns as well as making great beers. So we're going to look forward to having him back in the room with us. Someone new. We've never had this brewery on the podcast before. Rocky Ridge. What can you tell us about Rocky Ridge? A name that will be obviously familiar to lots of craft beer drinkers across Australia, particularly out of WA. We've tried to get them on the show, never quite managed to nail them down. So this is exciting for us that we're finally going to get to be officially tasting their beers rather than just sipping them at a pub that we might wander into.
Yeah, just another one that we've had a great relationship over the last, you know, many years. They've been in Camden before. We've taken multiple shipments of their beer. And they're one of the top breweries in Australia, no doubt about that. They go pretty big with a lot of their releases. We don't necessarily see a lot of them on this side of the country because they sell out so quickly out west. But, yeah, they're no stranger to barrels and no stranger to going big. So, yeah, it's super excited to have them involved.
And also get another state as well involved.
Totally. We've got to have a WA brewery, so.
It should be really good. I've got to say, the reason we haven't had them in before is because just what you were saying there about their stuff selling out so quickly, we've never really found a time where we could get six beers from them for one of our tasting packs at the same time. So that's been the trickiest thing to try and get our heads around. Seeker Brewing. Relatively recently, we had them on the podcast. It was good fun to chat with them. What can you tell us about Seeker? Why did you guys desire to have Seeker in the pack this year?
Well, after the AIBAs last year, I got the chance to meet the brewers, having drinks after the ceremony. And honestly, I really like the guys. I have heard great things from a few other friends that had done some co-ops with from Burnley. So I was really excited to get the beers involved. I've talked to Benny. It's like, if we get the chance to get their beers, we should probably do it. They've been doing a lot of collabs with a lot of people from all over Australia, and they've continued doing that this year. We managed to get our first shipment halfway through last year. We love their beers, and we thought, why not include a New South Wales brewery and include a brewery that hasn't been in Black Box before. They managed to get involved with us for Camden last year. And, well, my personal opinion, that IPA that they put in that pack was probably my favorite one of the whole box. And so I'm personally really, really excited to see what they'll do for this box.
I agree completely. They collabed not just with different breweries, but also with some of the hop suppliers out of New Zealand. So it was really fun to see some of their experimentation. And to a relatively new brewery, I thought they were doing some really exquisite things, some really adult sort of taste. So really looking forward to seeing what they come up with on that one. Which leaves us just one more brewery to talk about at the end of the alphabet, Working Title.
We've had a great relationship with Working Title again since they started. We haven't sold so much of their beer since they got their own brewery and venue over the last 12 months. So it's really good to get that, get that relationship going again. And they've been involved in multiple of our projects before. They're so great to work with. They were one of the breweries that contacted us like last year, like we want to put something into barrel specifically for the Black Box. Can't give too much more away than that. Those guys are fantastic brewers. I love their beer nerd posts that they do on social media. They really go into great detail.
Yeah, absolutely. They were involved with the Black Box a couple of years ago, and they did an amazing bourbon barrel aged salted peanut and chili imperial stout called Deception. It was such a unique flavor profile and such a unique beer. We love having it there. It was part of a small series. We managed to get them to have them over here and share with us in an afternoon. We honestly had such a good time tasting all their beers. They're honestly such good brewers. It's really exciting to have them involved once again for Black Box.
And as you say, what they've been doing, what they've been working away from on is going to be so much fun. I feel like we're teasing people, but we can't say what it's going to be at the moment. But it's going to be really enjoyable stuff. The whole pack's going to be magnificent when it comes together, guys. Is there one that, obviously not giving too much away, is there anything in particular that you're particularly looking forward to this year? Or is that like saying which of your 12 children are your favourite child?
You don't give too much away. It's a huge box this year, honestly. There's no gonna be no like easy days. Like, oh, Monday we'll put in a little Schwartz beer. Nah, it's go black or go home, I think is what we're going with. I mean, personally, I'm really excited for that Three Ravens beer because I can still taste it on my lips.
I was going to say the same. We already tasted it, so we're just excited to taste it again because we only got like a 50 ml sample,
But
maybe.
to yeah, totally. To be honest, like another 12 months on, the Australian scene has developed that bit more in terms of barrel aging. So I think we were at a little bit of a lag behind some other countries like the US, but we're quickly catching up. So there's quite a few beers in this box that have had, a proper sleep and beers that are designed to be barrel aged.
Absolutely.
And not only
Look.
that, sorry, I was just gonna say the additions for like beers and like or pastry style stuff or just like a few adjuncts. It used to be like kind of the same thing that you would see everywhere a couple of years back, but nowadays like everyone's just going like really hard and with a lot of them in every beer that they have. So if any of the beers here have like any adjuncts, then really not gonna skim on flavor or amounts. Like it's really exciting to see the scene, what they're doing with like these big black beers, dark beers. So
Yeah,
exciting.
we've
Strap
got.
yourselves in.
We're going to wrap up with just a couple of quick questions from people in the Zoom room here before we get our taste buds ready to welcome Brendan and Jeff in for our Three Ravens tasting. That'll come out in the next episode. Shana, you've got an interesting question there. Do you want to unmute yourself and ask your question?
Kind of hoping you were just going to ask that one for me, David.
Well, too late.
I just wondered, do you ever approach breweries that aren't known for making dark beers just to kind of see whether they can express themselves? Like you sort of think they can do it, but haven't tried yet?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you want to put a couple in there that people aren't expecting for one, and just to see what these breweries can do. I mean, Seeker was probably one of
Yeah.
those. I mean, they've been very much known for their IPA game. I haven't done too many dark beers, only a couple really, but I just think they're such talented brewers. It's like, let's see what they can do.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I reckon those guys are going to hit it out of the park. As we wrap up this episode, guys, can you remind people how the process works? When does the pre-sale start? Where can they get the beers from? And then we'll
Right.
wrap things up from there because you guys are
No
across all
worries.
this, and my brain doesn't retain any of this kind of information.
Okay.
And that'll give time for Warren Wu to come back into the Zoom room, who, normally we have our Warren Wu guessing game as to what time he'll come. Tonight's one, he was early. We should have been trying to guess what time he'll leave and then return to us. So he's almost back in the Zoom room with us. But run us through. People are going to now be excited to get these beers into their fridges in time for us to sit down and do those live shows. How do they get themselves organized?
Yeah, no worries. Well, everyone here tonight has got the scoop, by the way, because we're not revealing the brewery list until Monday. So we're going to push that out Monday. All the breweries are going to post out their involvement on Monday as well. And then on Wednesday at midday, pre-orders go live from obviously the Carwin website and the Cool Room website. Yeah, just jump on. It sold out really quickly last year, so hoping, might be a similar result this year. And I just think with the quality of box, even if it didn't sell out early, once people got them and cracked in,
Yeah.
the rest would go pretty quickly. So yeah.
Absolutely. It's going to be that kind of day to, on Wednesday. Is it going to be noon on the Wednesday? Have we decided what time?
Exactly. Noon on the Wednesday. Obviously, this is all a pre-sale. The beers eventually will get packaged and delivered and then packed in the black boxes, and they will start being shipped around mid-June for cracking the first beer on July 1st.
That's right. And there will be $10 discount codes given out as well. You're doing that again, David?
Absolutely, we'll be matching all of that because we love that, and obviously for our subscribers, you can rest assured if you're one of our subscribers, we're going to find a way that you'll already pre-qualify for one of those. So we'll make all of that work behind the scenes. Really looking forward to those beers, guys, and looking forward to what will be four shows in the space of the first 12 days of July, where we get together. And talk to all the brewers about their beers, get to chat with them, get to compare them. It's, I reckon, one of the highlights of the beery year, not just here in Melbourne, but across Australia.
Absolutely. We haven't even touched on the live brew interviews and tastings yet. So yeah, I mean, we love working with you guys. It really adds another element to this box, and
It was really fun last year as well.
It was great. We had great feedback. So yeah.
It's great getting brewers to talk to each other as well and react to like the beers and everything. So I think it's such a unique experience, not just for the sake of the black box, but just as a conversation and the podcast itself. So yeah, we're really excited about participating again.
Absolutely. We love it when the brewers like each other and can chat about the beers. We also like it when there's a little bit of tension and niggling if maybe they don't like each other so much. And so we'll see if the order of the beers might add to that this year as well.
Yes. Well, the order's not set yet, so we can take that into consideration.
We'll have to have a meeting. I'll have to come out to Carwin Cellars. Tell me where I should go if I've never been there before.
877 High Street, Thornbury. Yeah, where we've been for the last probably 12 years. Formerly walked
Excellent.
to Thornbury Station.
We are well, as Corey in the Zoom room chat says, maybe several meetings are required. I like that idea. I do know where you are, of course. I love coming out to visit and look forward to doing so again soon. Thank you so much, guys, for making some time to come on to us to with us tonight. You might want to stick around and be part of our chat with Three Ravens, I don't know. Mr. Warren Wu, welcome back into the Zoom room.
Thanks.
And I'm going to press pause on this bit of the record, and so we can get ready for our next episode, where we're going to be talking to Three Ravens about their amazing lineup of beers, including the James Bean, which was in last year's Black Box. And we're going to see how that's gone in the intervening year.